Hey guys, good morning. You guys want to make some art this morning? All right, stand up. We're going to make some art with our voices because I'm going to ask you to read along a couple passages of scripture with me, all right? So we're going to make art with our vocal cords. Everybody say, I'm ready. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. This is from the Message paraphrase. Let's read it together. Lift our voices. Here we go. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Say that word again. Shine. One more time. Shine. Keep reading. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. These are the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 5. Now, before you're seated, turn around and find someone you haven't said hello to. And give them a high five or a handshake or a hug, whatever you are into. So last weekend, as you guys know, we began a series, a new series called The New Artists. And it's a series about rehumanizing our world, rehumanizing ourselves, but also rehumanizing our world with creativity, with sensitivity, and imagination. And to sort of get us started today, I want to actually introduce you to an artist, one that I've been a fan of for, maybe the last 2 or 3 years. He's actually a street artist. He goes by the name of J.R. We don't really know what his real name is, but, you know, that's cool, J.R., and he's a cool-looking cat. He's from France, from Paris. But J.R. is not a typical street artist, and what I mean by that is that more than creating art that draws attention and points to him as an artist, J.R. is more about drawing attention to the places and to the people who live in some of the most broken, oppressed, challenged corners of our world. And his mission is very simple. It's this: to show the world its true face. Now, the way he does that is actually to literally take photos of people's faces and print them out really large, and these faces are sort of brought to life from everything from on moving trains to building blocks, to river stairs, to shanty roofs around the world, places like India, Brazil, Kenya, Palestine, and even China. It's pretty interesting work. Well, in 2011, J.R. Decided to sort of take his art project to a whole different level. And so what he did was he opened up this art project. And he opened it up to anyone who was interested to sort of join in and be a part of one of the, one of the biggest global art projects happening in the world. And last year, JR spoke at the TED conference and shared about this whole experience and what happened. And so I wanted to show you this. He's got a real heavy accent, so we put subtitles on the bottom. Hopefully you can see them. But watch this. It's very interesting.
12 years ago, I was in the street writing my name to say I exist. Then I went to taking photos of people to paste them on street to say they exist. From the suburbs of Paris to the wall of Israel and Palestine, the rooftop of Kenya to the favelas of Rio. Paper and glue, as easy as that. So when I had my TED wish last year, I said, look, I'm going to switch my concept. You are going to take the photos, you're going to send them to me, I'm going to print them and send them back to you. Then you're going to paste them where it makes sense for you to place your own statement. This is inside out. 100,000 posters have been printed this year. Those are the kind of posters, let me show you. And we keep sending more every day. This is the size. Just a regular piece of paper with a little bit of ink on it. This one was from Haiti. 2 weeks after my speech in Tunisia, hundreds of portraits were made. And they pasted every single portrait of the dictator by their own photos. Boom! This is what happened. Slim and his friends went through the countries and pasted hundreds of photos everywhere to show the diversity in the country. Karachi, Pakistan. Charmin is actually here. She organized a TEDx action out there and made all the unseen faces of the city on the walls in her town. North Dakota. Standing Rock Nation in this turtle island. DJ Two Beers from the Dakota Lakota tribe wanted to show that the Native American are still here. The seventh generation are still fighting for their rights. He pasted a portrait all over his reservation. Juarez, you heard the border, one of the most dangerous border in the world. Monica have taken thousands of portraits with a group of photographs and covered the entire border. While in Iran at the same time, Abu Lolo, of course a nickname, have pasted one single face of a woman to show his resistance against the government. I don't have to explain you what kind of risk he took for that action. Of course, we wanted to go back to Israel and Palestine. So we went there with truck. This is photo booth truck. You go on the back of that truck, take your photo, 30 seconds later, take it from the side, you're ready to rock. Thousands of people use them, and each of them sign up for a two-state peace solution. And then walk in the street. This is the march, the 450,000 march, being of September, they were all holding their photo as a statement. On the other side, people were wrapping up streets, buildings. It's everywhere. Come on, don't tell me that people are not ready for peace out there. These projects took thousands of actions in 1 year, making hundreds of thousands of people participating, creating millions of views. This is the biggest global art participatory project that's going on. So, back to the questions, can art change the world? Maybe not in 1 year, that's the beginning. But maybe we should change the question. Can art change people's life? From what I've seen this year, yes. And you know what? It's just the beginning. Let's turn the world inside out together. Thank you.
It's pretty inspiring, isn't it? I don't know if you guys caught right at the beginning what he said. I thought this was so good. He said, 12 years ago, I was in the street writing my name to say I exist. Then I went to taking photos of people to paste them on the street to say they exist. I think in many ways, this is what artists do. Our artists, they move us. And they shape us and they help us to see and to understand each other, to understand the world around us in new ways, in different ways. I think in many ways, you could even say in truer ways. You know, and that's one of the big reasons why when artists are given a space and given an opportunity to create, there's almost always the potential of something really extraordinary happening. You know, that's why when you look back, even throughout history, you see this. You know, you see the way that artists sparked conversations. You know, you see how artists challenged ideas and how understandings have been reshaped and even in movements that have happened because of that. You know, I mean, it's no wonder that when you look at many of the communities and cities around the world, even right here in the U.S., throughout history, you see how these cities and towns that have been revitalized. Well, often when you really take a look, what you'll find at the core are artists who are engaged at some level, creating and uniting and inspiring, because that is what artists do. In his book, A Stranger in a Strange Land, Robert Heinlein, he said it so well. He said, anybody can look at a pretty girl and see a pretty girl. An artist can look at a pretty girl and see the old woman she will become. A better artist can look at an old woman and see the pretty girl that she used to be. But a great artist, a master, can look at an old woman, portray her exactly as she is, and force the viewer to see the pretty girl she used to be. And then he ends it with this, and more than that, he can make anyone with the sensitivity of an armadillo, or even you, see that this lovely young girl is still alive, not old and ugly at all, but simply prisoned inside her ruined body. It seems that there is something about art that has a way of rehumanizing our world, which really, in many ways, shouldn't surprise us. You know, if you were here with us last weekend, you know, we talked about this, and we discovered how, you know, the very thing that makes us perhaps most unique as a species or as human beings is our powerful, almost godlike imaginations, right? Our ability to be creative, our creativity. You know, or another way of saying it is that to be human is to be creative. You are never more fully alive than when you were engaged in creating. And yet, that's where many of us get stuck. Many of us get snagged right there. And it happens, you know, we look at these stories, we watch something like we watched just a minute ago, we get inspired, we hear maybe a teaching like this, we see art hanging on the walls, and we see the beauty in it and all of that, and we say, well, you know what, Scott, that's very inspiring, and it's good, and all of that, but Scott, it's not me. Okay, you don't understand. It's not who I am. Okay, so thank you for trying to encourage me with your series about being an artist and all of that. But Scott, I'm just not the creative type, you know, let alone an artist. Are you sure? Because I mean, if you think back, there was a time when you used to believe you are. You know, I mean, we were all born into this world believing we were artists, weren't we? I mean, we all came into this world, not just believing we were artists, but believing that we confidently even believed that we had something really wonderful and extraordinary to contribute. And in fact, not only did we believe that we had something extraordinary to contribute, but we boldly showed that art, didn't we? We shared it with everyone around us, whether it was in our ability to finger paint, whether it was in our ability to draw stick figures that looked like every bone in their body was broken, right? Or in our ability to dance or to, you know, design and build entire cities out of, you know, regurgitated Legos, right? We were all artists. We believed we were artists. And we made that art with a ton of enthusiasm and with very little concern of what other people thought about it. We embraced it. But then something happened. We grew up, didn't we? We grew up, and most of us, well, we started listening to those voices around us that worked so hard to get us to fit in and to conform and to categorize us as being either creative or not creative, or as an artist or non-artist, or as a left brain or right brain. And of course, the left brain was the side that was always considered to be normal and to be rewarded, and the right brain was considered to be not normal, and people just never really know how to handle the right brain person. See, no wonder though, no wonder it was so easy for us to slowly stop believing and then as a result to eventually stop creating. And then, of course, it doesn't help either that, you know, our frame of reference when it comes to thinking about, you know, what it means to be an artist or our frame of reference for who is or who isn't an artist, well, you know, if we're honest about it, I mean, it's often defined by, I don't know, a few dozen of the world's greatest artists of all time, right? I mean, think about that. You mentioned art and artistry and artists, whatever. Immediately, our minds go to those masterpieces, those creative people like Picasso. You know, we think of someone like Da Vinci. We think Van Gogh or Rembrandt or Monet or Mozart, right? We think Shakespeare. We think Poe. We think, you know, all these big names. And all of a sudden, that gap becomes more like a canyon between who we are and who an artist is. Right? And of course, these are all amazing artists who deserve to be called artists and have created beautiful art for us, you know, and for the world. But I mean, let's face it, we make it awfully tough to even begin seeing ourselves as artists simply because of where we start in our definition of it. You know, I mean, to most of us, it's like artistry is sort of seen, viewed as some sort of exclusive VIP invite-only gala that you know, only the uber-talented and the gifted and the highly recognized are invited to attend. Somehow our name is not on that list. I know for a long time, and I've shared this before, for a long time in my life, that's how I viewed creativity and artistry. You know, I mean, I think back to the time of sitting down at a conference where there was a person talking about art and creativity, and I found myself sitting at the very top, furthest away from people as I could be, bawling my eyes out because I felt like I was the most non-creative person in that room. I mean, for me, it was a huge leap, right? I mean, to even consider that I was an artist, it was a joke. It would have been easier for me to imagine, climbing Mount Everest barefoot and butt naked, you know, and like without any oxygen. Again, please don't picture that right now. but I mean, it would have been a lot easier to imagine that than it would have been to even remotely imagine myself bringing something beautiful to this world as an artist. And so, what I needed was what I think a lot of us need, and that was just sort of a new way, I think, of understanding art, new way of understanding creativity, a new way of seeing what it really looks like to be creative and what it looks like to be artistic. Because I think there's a lot of us who we believe all sorts of things about artists, and we believe all sorts of things about creativity and how artists do the work that they do. That's not only unrealistic, but is just even, you know, flat out untrue. I mean, for example, when most people even think of the word art, say that word with me right now, art. And when most of us think about the word art, well, where do our minds go? Typically, our minds go to, I don't know, maybe it's a favorite painting that's hanging in a museum somewhere. You know, maybe it's a piece around the orchard that you've walked in, you see this beautiful painting, and so when you hear art, your mind goes there. All right, maybe for some of you, you hear the word art, your mind goes to that favorite song of yours that has been released and you downloaded or you listen to. For others of us, maybe it's a beautiful structure that stands somewhere in the world and you hope maybe one day to visit it and to see it. For some of you, maybe it's a favorite book that's been published and you download it and you just love it. It's a classic. But quite often, for most of us, when we think of the word art, what most of us do is we go immediately to the finished product, don't we? All right, we go to the finished product. Very seldom when we think about art do we really stop and think about the actual work that an artist does or the creative process that artist went through in creating that piece of art. Right, very seldom do we really think about how many times that artist failed and how much art they created that no one paid attention to, and how many times not only did they fail, but how many times they quit and started over again and had to work on their craft and figure out how to do what they were doing. I mean, for most of us, we don't think about that. We go straight to the finished product when we think the word art. And so that gap becomes even bigger, right? That distance between who we are and who an artist is becomes even greater. And this whole idea that I'm an artist becomes even much more intimidating. And yet the thing is, when you look and you even take the word art, for example, what you begin to discover is that it actually is not always quite what we think art is. The word art, it comes from a Latin word, and the word is ars. Which is where we need to kick our old definition, right? Right in the arse, okay? So, no, but now listen. So the word is, it's a Latin word, arse, And it's interesting because this word ars, it's a word that actually has much less to do with any sort of finished product or any sort of finished piece of art. And it actually has much more to do with skill, method, or technique. Okay? Much more to do with the way in which art is created. Okay, so while we constantly think finished product, when we think art, well, really art is about something so much more. I mean, for example, art is just as much about the why. Art is just as much about the why, it's about the how. Why am I creating? How am I creating? Right? I mean, art is about how long before that painting is on the wall, long before that dancer is seen performing on a stage, or that book is printed, or the music is heard, it's about how that artist has been on a journey. Journey. A journey of looking and listening. It's about a journey that artist has been on, a journey of dreaming and imagining. A journey of toiling and preparing and showing up day after day after day and failing and struggling and working through all kinds of fear and anxiety and oftentimes even pain. See, ultimately, the place where art begins is not somewhere out here or on some wall somewhere, okay? Ultimately, the place that art and beauty really and truly begins is in the heart, in the mind of the artist. And so perhaps what we need is just maybe a new definition of what it means to create, what art and artistry really is. So here's one that I'll give you, and I don't know, you know, artists probably, if you're an artist, you're going to get mad that we're categorizing you, but we'll try, and then maybe it'll change next week. I don't know, but it's a good starting point, okay? Here it is. An artist is this. We'll start here. An artist is a person whose life or work shows sensitivity, imagination, and creativity. Very simple. Say that definition. Ready? An artist is, ready? A person, say it with me, a person whose life or work shows sensitivity, imagination, and creativity. An artist is a person, a person, a person, not a genius, not a miracle worker, okay, not just someone who has been trained professionally or has some sort of degree in fine arts, a person, a human being. Okay, a human being taking whatever it is that human being does, whether you are an attorney or a business owner or a teacher or a rabbi or a priest, or it sounds like I'm going to start a joke right now, but a construction worker, I don't know, maybe a stay-at-home mom. But it's about taking whatever it is they do, whatever it is that you do in your life, and doing that work with a heart of sensitivity. It's about doing whatever it is you do with a mind that is filled with imagination and with a life that brings fresh creativity to those blank canvases that are all around your life. That's what a new artist is. See, it's the person who understands that art is not a gene, all right? It understands that art is not even necessarily a specific talent nearly as much as it is an attitude. And not just an attitude, but something that is available to anyone who's willing to reach out and embrace it. And so what that means is that it may be, sure, it might be a painter standing in front of a blank canvas, right? It may be an architect who is changing the rules of design and building. It might be, I don't know, a playwright who writes a play that moves us emotionally and makes us cry, makes us laugh, or whatever. But do you know, it also might mean that it's a doctor who cares enough to put himself or herself in the shoes of their patient and takes time to explain, takes time to help them understand. It might be the entrepreneur who knows when it's okay to break the rules because what's needed is a better solution. Could be a school teacher who finds new and creative ways to connect, to teach their children. It could be a mom even, maybe a dad or whatever, it's even a single mom, a parent of some sort that finds ways to creatively draw and motivate the and draw out the natural gifts and abilities of their children. See, really it has much less to do with what you do and it has much more to do with how and why you do the things that you do. I love this quote from Eric Gill. He says this, "The artist is not a special kind of man, but every man is a special kind of artist." That really sums it up right there. See, in other words, it's like the new artists are people just like you and me, okay? And while they may not even create art in the sense that we typically think of art, while they may not create in that traditional sense, they choose to believe that the art they do have matters. And not only that art matters, but they intentionally live and see the world around them in much the same way that an artist sees and views the world around them. So that's where we're going. And that's where we're diving in, because we're going to look at the way artists see the world, because there's something about the way an artist sees the world that is deeply personal. I mean, I look around this room, there's some of you, I mean, I think Patty, you're such a have such beautiful art that comes out of a really deep place of pain in your life. And I know when I see your art, I'm not just seeing paint that is on a canvas. What I'm seeing is pain. I'm seeing hope. And I'm seeing, at the core, something that is very, very human. And so I think artists are worth looking at in for so many ways. And so over these next few weeks, we're gonna look and we're gonna learn and we're gonna explore things like how to live our lives with a great deal of sensitivity. Sensitivity. Say that word with me. Sensitivity. We're gonna talk about what it means to live with a sensitivity to what is going on in the world around us. A sensitivity to finding those people, those places, those causes that are in desperate need of the art that every one of us can bring to them. See, it's really about being aware. Being sensitive is about being aware. Because so many of us, what we're focused on is either the past or we're focused on the future. And anything that we're paying attention to in the moment, we see it as sort of a means to an end, and which means that we just are not present. We are not there. We are not embracing the now. And so being sensitive is about being present and learning to be, even in the midst of things like pain. Being sensitive, at times being willing to go into uncomfortable places that frankly a lot of people don't have the guts to go. Sensitivity, it's about being sensitive to a need that exists, maybe a message that needs to be heard, maybe a story that needs to be told, and ultimately whatever it is, it's about a canvas that needs to be created on. See, for that artist we looked at earlier, J.R., I mean, man, if you really think about his work, I mean, it was his sensitivity to the fact that there are people around this world who had no voice. And to many of us, people who had no face. Right? And so JR, he understood that when that happens, when there are people who have no voice and there are people who have no face to the rest of the world, well then it's not right. It's not good, because it makes it way too easy for people like that to be ignored, to be dehumanized, and quite often to be oppressed and just flat out forgotten about. JR was sensitive to that. It was a sensitivity to that opened his eyes and helped him to discover this gigantic blank canvas that was in desperate need of his art. So he went to places that a lot of people would never go to, and he did work that, well, a lot of people just never take the time to even think about. And so his new artists were people who were sensitive, were people who listen and who observe and who are made aware of where we can make the biggest difference using what God has given each and every one of us. And then, of course, that's where this thing called imagination comes in. Imagination. Isn't that a beautiful word? Imagination. Say it with me. Imagination. Imagination isn't just for Mr. Rogers. Imagination. See, what that means is new artists are people who dream. People who begin to get a picture of what could be. Because way too often, we dream with very tight borders around us, don't we? We dream based on what we have, which sometimes isn't a lot. We dream from within these boxes that we live in, and so our dreams are very small, very limited. But the new artist is someone who dreams beyond all of that. And for some, it might be just a picture. It might be just a sort of a snapshot or a feeling or a single word or, you know, whatever. It might be extremely blurry. In fact, it usually is pretty blurry at first. But listen, it's about being someone who trusts and who understands that anything great, listen, anything great always, always, always starts as a possibility in here long before it ever becomes a reality out here. Van Gogh, great quote, "I dream my painting, and I paint my dream." So as new artists, we are people of imagination. We are dreamers. But then it doesn't stop there, because if all it is a dream, and it never comes to pass, then it really doesn't qualify for art. Art has to be created, right? So ultimately, in order for that art to truly become art and to become real, that art, that dream, it has to be created. It has to become a reality. Right, and so just as art, as an artist would take whatever dream or idea that is within him or within her, and they begin this journey or this process of creativity, right? Well, we too, as new artists, we embrace that same God-given gift that has been placed within each and every one of us by the great artist, right? The great creator himself. And so we're not just sensitive people, we're not just imaginative people, but we are creative people. We actually create. And sometimes that's where the greatest challenge comes in. Listen, can I tell you why this is so important? I really believe in the things we're talking about here, not because I think that artists are, you know, just cool people, or you know creativity is fun or whatever, because there's quite often creativity is not fun, and quite often the creative process is grueling, man. It's difficult, it's challenging, because it forces you to confront yourself. It forces you to confront what's going on inside of you. Listen, but the reason this is so important is because there are some blank canvases that are surrounding your life right now that are in desperate need of your art. Surrounding your life. And not only are they surrounding your life, but many of them, they're just waiting. Waiting to be embraced, waiting to be created upon, waiting for your art, waiting for which you can bring them. And you may not even be aware of what that canvas is, and you may have no idea, but I promise you, regardless of whether you know what it is or not, it's there right now. It's there. See, your canvas, it's that thing that calls out to you and won't stop. For some of you, it's that thing that keeps you up at night. For others of you, it's that thing that makes you angry every time you think about it. For some of you, it's that thing that constantly scares the living daylights out of you and causes you to beg God to send it to someone else. And yet, no matter how much you pray and beg God to remove it and to take it away, and no matter how much you try to run away from it, there it is. Sits there, and it waits for your art. Not mine, not his, not hers. It's waiting for yours, because you have something unique, and you have something to bring to those canvases that no one else in this world has to bring. You're it. And see, that's why no matter how much you try to avoid it, No matter how much you try to ignore it and run from it or even sabotage it, it'll still be there waiting. It's like a stubborn old mule. It sits there. It is sitting there and waiting for you to do something with it. So I guess what I want to do and hopefully have accomplished is cause you to just think a little bit about your life, to think about the intersections of your life, to think about, you know, those people that you cross paths with every day. I mean, to think about what it is that has been given to you. I mean, what is in front of you every single day? What has been given to you to care for, to be a steward of, to manage, to develop? Those of you listening online, pastors, business owners, those of you here in this room, what has been given to you to lead, to change, to transition, to inject with hope? And then I think what we ought to do is just get ready to let God speak to us and get ready to watch what God will do as we just simply, very, very simply make ourselves willing and available to Him. So I want to close with a scripture, words from the Apostle Paul, that I think sums it up so well. And this, I'll tell you, this is the posture right here. If we can just have this posture, God will do something really great in us and through us. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Whew. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's it. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, I think sometimes this can feel so overwhelming because we get this idea that you're going to ask us to do things that we're not capable of. Or that you're going to call us to be or to do things that just aren't who we are. And so sometimes we even get afraid to do exactly what we just read, to just take our everyday, ordinary lives and offer it to you. But God, the truth is, you have given us everything we need in our lives to take the next step. It's there now. And we may not have what we need to take 5 steps or 10 steps, but we have everything we need to take a step. And so I think the best thing we can do in the second week of the series is just very simply offer up to you our lives. And to offer not just the parts of our lives that we're proud of, but also the parts of our lives that maybe we're even ashamed of, embarrassed of. And to offer up to you not just our strengths, but offer to you even what we often see as our weaknesses. Because there's something about the way that you move and you work in our lives that I don't know, you have this way of taking what is very ordinary and causing it to become very extraordinary. And God, I think that's who you've called us to be, are extraordinary people. Not average, but extraordinary people. And so we offer ourselves to you. Would you just take a moment right now, just where you're seated, and just in silence for a second, would you just do that? Would you just offer to God? And maybe you've come in here today and you feel like you don't have a whole lot to offer God, and you're not even sure what you think of God. Maybe you're not even sure you believe in God. But maybe right now you could just take a little bit of a risk, and just in case there is one, you could just simply say, God, I give you whatever I have right now. Work with whatever you have to work with in my life. Would you take a moment? Let's just sit for a moment and just say that prayer in your own way, just between you and God right now. God, thank you for this journey we're on. Open our eyes, our ears, and fill us with courage. We pray that, we ask that, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone said, amen.